Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for being here. I hope you can hear me fine at the back over there. My name is Rajiv Nagar, and I will be discussing our investments in next-generation networking this afternoon with you. I'll spend the next hour or so talking a little bit about the experiences that shape us, that motivate us to do what we do, take a brief look back at what we have in market today, and then spend the bulk of my time talking about what we've been working on and what we will be bringing to market in the very near future. And happy to take some questions at the end of that. Dr. Rajagopalan is my colleague. He's here today. Unfortunately, he injured himself a little bit over the past few days, so I'll be doing the bulk of the talking today, and he will surely speak up if he finds me to be saying something incorrect. By way of introduction, Bala and I respectively lead networking teams focused on data center networking and platform technologies within Microsoft. We work with our brethren in Azure, and essentially we deliver all of the technologies that ship as part of Microsoft's devices that are deployed by Microsoft in our Azure data centers, that are consumed by our services, and then that are delivered to customers like you as part of Windows Server. This slide essentially encapsulates our approach towards developing solutions, and that transcends those solutions are not limited to networking. It transcends all domains or technology domains. And that approach is one focused on a consistent platform that is used by us internally as we deliver services at large scale, and used by us internally in Azure. The same platform then delivered to you if you happen to be a service provider delivering services to your customers, or if you are an enterprise consuming these technologies directly within your data centers. This consistency, we think, brings a slew of benefits to you, our customers, and it certainly brings a slew of benefits to us. We deploy these technologies in Azure at very large scale, and I'll talk a little bit about that shortly. We learn from our experiences. We improve those technologies. We bring them to you, our customers, regardless of what customer type you are. You teach us through your deployments of these technologies. We take those learnings back into our engineering process. Consistency that we deliver to you, if you are a developer, helps you build applications that you know will run seamlessly regardless of where they are deployed. Consistency that we bring to you in terms of administrative capabilities affords you the ability to truly place your workloads based on your business requirements and not be limited in terms of your ability to use infrastructure regardless of where it exists most efficiently. Slight context, I said that I'd talk a little bit about what motivates us or what shapes our thinking. As you know, Microsoft delivers services at very large scale. There's a list of services on the right-hand side over here. These services are consumed by hundreds of millions of customers daily. And they are consumed by customers of diverse types. Enterprises using Office 365, for example, consumers using Outlook.com or Xbox Live, MSN, Skype. These services require utilization of infrastructure at very large scale. And then I'm sure you must have heard Jason's keynote earlier this morning where he spoke about the large-scale deployments that we have of our data centers worldwide, which power Azure, basically. Just to give you some context, we have thousands of tenants, at least upwards over 1,000 new tenants that we onboard on a daily basis. We have over 250,000 tenants right now in Azure running their applications, and we affect over 50,000 network changes on a daily basis in Azure. Of course, we could not do that with an army of men and mice, and so we have to build and consume technologies that allow us to scale to such gargantuan levels. And these are the same technologies, those learnings, those technologies are the ones we commercialize and bring to market. So as I said before, we strive to ensure consistency in terms of our approach to delivering innovative technologies. That consistency is not just limited to conceptual principles. That consistency extends to the code that we use and we deliver to you. So Hyper-V is the same virtualization platform that is used in Azure and that is brought to you, our customer. Our networking technologies, in fact, many of them these days are birthed in Azure and deployed first in Azure and then brought to you. And that code, essentially, that code flow continues regardless of whether it's deployed by you or deployed in Azure data centers. As you think about traditional data centers, words that come to mind typically are on the order of lack of sufficient flexibility, inability to scale flexibly. The elasticity that you desire is hard to achieve. Complexity is part of our daily lexicon. When you think about modern data centers, at least when I think about modern data centers, I think about them as being focused to optimize your capital expenditure, to optimize, to minimize complexity, thereby optimizing your operational costs, and with a very strong focus on service delivery, on ensuring that you can deliver the services that you monetize yourself or deliver services to your businesses so they can do what they do best. When I think about modern data centers and the way we approach construction and deployment of our own data centers is by deploying industry standard hardware married to software. So software defined is what we live, eat, breathe, and that's the approach we believe that most of you are taking as you modernize your data centers as well. There are three interesting technological trends that have brought us to an inflection point today, in my opinion. And these technological trends are not limited to the networking sphere. The first technological trend that we see, or innovation that we see, is disaggregation of the software stack, which allows for, at the very least, independent scaling. In fact, you see the same technological trend being applied towards the hardware stack, and you see disaggregation of the hardware stack into pools of compute, pools of storage, pools of memory in the very near future, connected by a capable fabric. The third interesting technological trend that we see that I think is very interesting is the advent of very capable merchant silicon. Until now, in order to be able to get the necessary throughput or latency characteristics, certainly in the networking sphere that we desire for mission-critical application delivery, we, all of us, had to rely on specialized silicon. However, merchant silicon, silicon commonly available through quite a few suppliers now, some of whom are listed over here, has changed the dynamic substantially. In my opinion, these three trends are leading us to an inflection point that enable the modern data center we were just talking about a few moments ago. One that allows you to leverage industry standard hardware, one that allows you to leverage software for fine-grained control, one that allows you to scale independently and still be able to get the necessary throughput, the necessary latency characteristics that you desire at a price point that was not possible until now. In fact, the whole movement around NFV leverages this trend quite substantially. As we think about building our technologies, as we think about enabling our technologies, certainly in the networking sphere, we are focused on these critical dimensions that we think you, our customers, and certainly we care about. If you think about traditional data centers again, your workload deployment is constrained by the physical topology of your network today. At least that's been our experience in talking to our customers. And it certainly constrains you or limits the mobility that you would like to have in terms of placement of your workload efficiently. It constrains you in your being able to scale up and down. You may need to over-provision or you may not have provisioned appropriately and it takes time in order to be able to change that dynamic. It constrains you in your ability to be able to control heterogeneous infrastructure in a flexible, granular manner. It certainly inhibits you from delivering the key characteristics that are desired by your businesses. Characteristics like agility, mobility, flexibility, security, isolation guarantees that are verifiable. All of these characteristics are very hard to do in traditional data centers and certainly with traditional modes of networking infrastructure deployments. And therefore, our endeavor has been on addressing precisely these issues that exist in the conventional data center. Our software-defined networking focus has been on enhancing or delivering virtualized networking that is reliable, that is performant, and that ensures interoperability. And I will talk a little bit more about that. Our endeavor, as I said, given the scale that we experience ourselves in Azure, has been to allow for centralized configuration and management, granular control, and that's not limited just to overlay networking. It has to be holistic. It transcends overlay networking, it encompasses the underlay and provides an holistic approach to control and management and certainly encompasses transparency or visibility that you need when things go wrong. So you have to be able to monitor, meter, and understand what's happening in your network regardless of where it's happening in the overlay or the underlay. We are very focused on leveraging those technological innovations that I was talking about, key disruptions that are happening right now in the market. As I said, the availability of capable merchant silicon. And then we are very focused on hybrid. You heard Jason say this morning that we are focused on enterprise grade. We are focused on hybrid. And so we see the hybrid world as a real world today, and enabling mobility of applications, enabling complete flexibility in your being able to place your workloads is something that we strive towards. I'm going to segue a little bit and talk a little bit about what we have in market today before I go to what it is that we are bringing to market in the very near future. This is an illustration that we've blogged in the past, and it demonstrates, it actually shows clearly the journey that we started on with Windows Server 2012. Beginning with Windows Server 2012, we began commercializing, bringing to market our implementation of software-defined networking, the same implementation that we have deployed in Azure right now at very large scale. And that implementation encompasses technologies, infrastructure components that are delivered as part of Windows Server, and then integrates with components that are delivered as part of System Center and then as part of the Azure pack. These deliverables that exist in market right now, in fact, allow precisely the kind of mobility, flexibility, agility I was talking about until now. So in Windows Server 2012, and in Windows Server 2012 R2, which is where we basically enhanced that set, we delivered an implementation of overlay networking, which allows for isolation of tenant workloads when they're using the same physical infrastructure, just like we do in Azure, just like you'd like to do verifiably within your own data center. That is available as part of Windows Server 2012 R2. We also brought to market a distributed logical switch that allows for policy enforcement. It's an extensible switch by design that has third-party extensions. For example, from NEC has an OpenFlow extension. Cisco has an extension that does its own forwarding, and there are other companies that have built their own extensions. Along with that, we basically brought to market a standardized way by which we communicate with the underlay using OMI. So we have a standardized transport and a standardized schema by which we communicate, for example, with top-of-rack switches and other appliances that you have already invested in. We also have orchestration, control, and management brought by System Center, delivered by System Center, that integrates with these infrastructure components. And the Azure pack allows for tenant self-service, a consistent tenant self-service experience. So a tenant could go in and provision themselves in the same manner, regardless of whether the infrastructure was being delivered from your data center or whether the tenant was being hosted in the public cloud in Azure or within a service provider environment. Further, in Server 2012 R2, we brought to market gateway capabilities that allowed for site-to-site communication inbox, that allowed for forwarding and NAT. And our forwarding capabilities, for example, were inherently multi-tenant, so you could have greater density in terms of your infrastructure gateway deployments, a density that is not matched in market by anybody. So as you see over here, you have a consistent administrative experience for the tenant. Regardless, that's the green individual depicted over there. And then you have fabric management that is done through System Center for your data center deployments. And then you have Windows Server 2012 R2 that brings the gateway components, allowing for all of this hybrid connectivity, and then a distributed switch for policy enforcement, and then an implementation of overlay networking. This is something that's in market right now. So given that, let's look at what we are investing in, what we are bringing to market with the upcoming version of Windows Server. Our focus has been to deliver as an industry-leading implementation of SDN, of NFV, and ensure that all of that is built on fundamentals that are truly cloud scale. And I'll talk a little bit more about what all of this means. Of course, these areas are all interrelated. They have to go together. In order for us to bring NFV capabilities to market, we had to have a very deep investment on cloud scale fundamentals. So let's talk a little bit about the enhancements in terms of our SDN infrastructure. What we have in market right now is orchestration, control, and management done through System Center. However, with the upcoming version of Windows Server, we are delivering a network controller that is distinct, and it's essentially the network controller that we use in Azure ourselves. So think about 19 domains worldwide. Think about hundreds of thousands of physical machines. Think about millions of VMs. Think about the number of networks that we deploy for each of our tenants in Azure. Think about the number of fine-grained policies that we have to push in Azure, and you get a sense of scale. And that's done via a network controller in Azure, a disaggregated stack that we've implemented in Azure, and we are bringing or commercializing a network controller now, bringing it to market with server, with the upcoming version of the server. I'll talk a little bit more about that shortly. Let's go on to interoperability. I've said this before publicly, which is that we are at a point in certainly in the networking sphere where we are going through a period of substantial innovation. But that innovation can only be fostered if the different vendors come together and deliver interoperable solutions. And that interoperability is not restricted to any particular layer in the networking stack. We have a commitment to delivering standards-based implementation, but beginning with server, the next version of server, we've actually gone ahead and implemented a solution that is even more interoperable, meeting our partners in the networking space where they are and ensuring that you, our customers, actually do not have to do a forklift upgrade, can avail of these benefits utilizing your existing or preserving your existing investments in the underlay that you have today. We have enhanced our integration. We have a controller now in the networking sphere that is distinct from SCVMM. However, we are still tightly integrated with SCVMM for lifecycle management, for deployment, and for orchestration capabilities. And we are, again, we deliver a consistent tenant provisioning, tenant management experience through the Azure pack, and those are integrated through our network controller. I'll talk a little bit more about the stack, and you'll get a sense of how all of that fits together. In terms of network function virtualization, we have a very strong push to enable you, our customers, to be able to use industry standard components and deploy your network applications in a scalable manner on such industry standard hardware, leveraging the merchant silicon capabilities that I spoke about before. So we are bringing to market infrastructure that allows for service composition by chaining individual applications that are delivered either by us or by our partners in the domain. We are bringing to market some critical services that have already, virtualized services that have already been deployed by us at very large scale in Azure. I'll talk a little bit more about that. But we've taken network applications that we've deployed, virtualized at very large scale in Azure, and now we are bringing them to market, and I'll talk a little bit more about that. And as we know, a lot of virtualized network applications choose a Linux-based or a BSD-based environment to contain themselves, basically. And we have invested significantly in order to ensure that these network applications get the throughput and latency characteristics that they expect running on Windows-powered host infrastructure, even if they are contained within a Linux or a BSD environment. In terms of fundamentals, we've invested significantly in bringing to market a converged fabric where you can have virtualized tenant communication and RDMA-based disaggregated storage access, all happening on the same fabric, all happening through the same NICs. I'll talk a little bit more about that. Of course, if you have a converged fabric, you want to ensure quality of service guarantees across your network on a workload basis. And so we've invested in ensuring that we can bring those quality of service guarantees to you as you deploy these technologies. a very significant investment in high throughput, low latency packet processing, and I'll quantify that for you. It should be an interesting number that you look at in terms of our ability to deliver network functionality at very large scale at speeds that you would not think possible with standard hardware. We obviously, if you think about NFV, the whole premise is that you've got software that leverages this merchant silicon in order to deliver cost-effective solutions. You cannot do that without having very tight integration and leveraging offload capabilities in the next generation NICs that are being brought to market. So we have a very deep investment in that area. And then we have substantial investments in the area of IP address management and DNS, cloud-based DNS. We actually consume these services ourselves in order, for example, to have distributed load balancing across our geographically dispersed data center deployments worldwide with Azure and Bing. And so I'll talk a little bit more about that as well. So let's dive a little bit more into the details of each one of these areas and understand what they really mean. Let's talk a little bit about SDN infrastructure. So I spoke about the disaggregated stack, and you see over here an illustration that shows what we are commercializing with ServerNext, which is essentially our controller that provides for integrated control that transcends both the overlay and the underlay. The controller provides network service lifecycle management for virtualized network applications. We'll see those applications, but examples of those applications are load balancing services, a distributed firewall. You can think of third-party services like denial of service appliances, virtual appliances, other application delivery systems. So all of those, the lifecycle management for such virtualized appliances comes through the controller. And then network monitoring capabilities that are also instantiated through the controller. This controller exposes a standardized set of interfaces. So let me take a step back and talk about interoperability. I alluded to this in the previous slide, and I spoke about the need for interoperability at various layers in the stack. Until Server 2012 R2, we implemented overlay networking by using a standardized encapsulation mechanism called NVGRE. That is how packets are encapsulated literally on the wire, and that's how you have multiple tenants isolated sharing the same physical infrastructure. There are partners in the industry, partners of ours, competitors of ours, who have implemented other encapsulation schemes. And that leads to problematic situations for you, our customers, because you can't have these solutions kind of working with each other. So beginning with ServerNext, with the next version of Server, we now support both NVGRE and VXLAN-based encapsulation mechanisms on the wire, leading to increased interoperability in terms of the packet flow that occurs on the wire. As you implement your overlay networking, as you instantiate, you consume these technologies. So that's a layer of interoperability. That's on the data plane side. If you go up the stack a little bit and you come to the control plane, you see that there's a need for a standardized way by which controllers, not just our controller, by which controllers can communicate with these various services, network services that exist. That standardized set of mechanisms really does not exist today. And that mechanism encompasses a protocol or a transport and a set of schemas. In other words, you have to speak the same language and then you have to have the same vocabulary. That does not exist in the market today. Until Server 2012 R2, we brought to market a standardized set of schema and a protocol or a transport that was evangelized through the DMTF, a standards organization. That's OMI. However, our partners and competitors, for example, use other mechanisms. You might have heard of OVSDB, for example, or OffFlex and the like. So beginning with Server Next. We now support OMI, and we support OVSDB as protocols, and we intend to support OFFLEX as well. So in other words, we are meeting our customers and our partners and our competitors where they are. And then in terms of schema, the common vocabulary that I spoke about, that does not exist either. In fact, we are working very aggressively with the rest of the industry in order to standardize the schema for the various infrastructural components that exist in the network, regardless of whether they are physical components or virtual components. So for example, we are working with our folks, folks like VMware, you'd be surprised by, and we've gotten great reception from them. We're working with Cisco, we're working with Arista, a slew of, think about every networking vendor that you could conceive of in terms of ensuring that there's a standardized schema we can align on, at least for the core functionality. So that's the next layer up in the stack in terms of ensuring interoperability. And then going up the layer, I was talking about the REST-based interfaces. As you think about this disaggregated network stack, software stack, the controller, the desire is to have rich communication between the application and the network. And when I talk about the network, I talk about the network that encompasses physical and virtual. So in the near future, the desire is to have this rich communication between the apps and the network so that the apps can have the network do its bidding. And the network can communicate to the app what the situation really is in terms of what's happening in the world as the packets are flowing through. And so we are working with the rest of the industry in ONF to ensure that there is a cohesion and a cohesive set of northbound interfaces that all of us expose that allow for this virtuous ecosystem of network app application development and thereby allow for this rich conversation that occurs between the network applications and certainly between management applications but other kinds of applications and the network. In fact, we consume this standardized set of REST-based interfaces ourselves when we have integration with System Center for orchestration, for example, or when we have integration with the Azure Pack for tenant provisioning and the like. And you can see a very interesting example of one of our unified communications applications, Link for Skype, for example, richly communicating with the network through a similar set of interfaces to ensure great call quality that is delivered dynamically over this physical network infrastructure that transcends the virtual and the physical. So hopefully this gives you a sense of the infrastructure enhancements that we are bringing to market or commercializing as part of ServerNext. Moving on and talking about network function virtualization. The key over here, the key tenet over here is to bring or deliver the ability to deploy scalable network functionality and then compose services out of these on industry standard hardware, but do it with the throughput that you expect, that your applications expect, with the latency characteristics that your applications expect. So with ServerNext, what we are bringing to market, what we are commercializing is the ability to do service chaining. And then we are bringing a couple of key, what I call first-party services that we have already deployed at scale in Azure. So we are bringing, as part of the solution, a software load balancer, which is essentially the software load balancer that enables the gargantuan scale that we have instantiated in Azure. We are bringing that to market as part of our solution set. We are bringing a distributed firewall that allows for policy specification and enforcement on a workload basis, regardless of where the workload resides at any given point in time. The ability to chain appliances that are delivered by our partners. And we have significant enhancements we made to our gateway services that we first brought to market in 2012 R2. So that includes our site-to-site gateway, our L2, L3 gateways, and our VPN gateway. And then we have BGP services that we use ourselves, for example, in order to be able to deliver high availability of some of these infrastructure components, services that you might have deployed. For example, detecting failure of a load balancer, multiplexer instance, and ensuring that services continue to function, that the clients continue to access or go to the right instance despite failure of any one of them. Our controller incorporates functionality for various network service managers to be encapsulated within it. So we have network service managers for our load balancing capability and a service manager for our firewall capability, and then the ability to do lifecycle management for third-party services as well. All of that comes as part of the controller. And then we talk to the services themselves. That's what you see at the bottom row over there. And the way we communicate with the services is through agents that we have that are instantiated in each one of the systems that actually host the workloads. So if you think architecturally, we have instances of the controller and network managers within those instances of the controllers, and those network managers, service managers, can then communicate with their agents, with their counterparts, using various protocols, transports, and schemas that I just spoke about, which reside on each one of those hosts, and then that allows us to control the actual network applications as well. I spoke a little bit about fundamentals, about the ability to actually have the throughput latency characteristics you desire while using merchant silicon. We have an interesting piece of technology that we are bringing to market called Packet Direct that allows us, for example, that allows you to be able to leverage the move to even higher speed networking. So as you move from 10 gigabits to 40 to 100, we will enable the ability to leverage all of that bandwidth effectively on your industry standard hardware with very low latency. Just to instantiate this with Server 2012 R2, for example, for small packets, we can deliver about 800,000 64 byte packets per second that we process with a single core. And now we are talking on the order of multiple millions of those packets processed per second using a single core with ServerNext. That's with our investments in Packet Direct. I spoke about a converged fabric. The way we deploy infrastructure in Azure is we have systems that host tenant workloads, and then we have systems that provide storage capabilities. So it's disaggregated storage that we deploy in Azure. That's the model that we think a lot of our customers will use. In other words, the tenants consume storage using the same physical fabric, essentially, on which over which tenant communication occurs. With Server 2012 R2, we brought to market RDMA-based access for storage, so you could get really low latency storage access via RDMA while not burdening CPUs that were better utilized for hosting application workloads. However, with Server 2012 R2, you had to have separate fabrics, you had to have separate NICs essentially to have this RDMA-based storage connectivity, and then virtualize tenant traffic would go on separate NICs. And so we've enabled convergence of this with the upcoming version of Server, so you can truly envision a common fabric, the same set of NICs that can allow for RDMA-based storage access and virtualized tenant communication and other types of communication. And then we married that with quality of service capabilities that allow for fair sharing of bandwidth across these different categories of network traffic. I spoke about delivering a solution or bringing a solution to market that is not just limited to our technology set, but one that is tightly integrated with the capabilities that are delivered through merchant silicon on the NICs that you put in your systems. And so we've done a lot of work over there in terms of driving quality into the ecosystem. If you think about NFV, if you think about industry standard hardware, by definition, you're thinking about components that are not specialized, components that can fail and will fail, components that are cost-effective to procure. But at the same time, you need to have a peace of mind and assurance that your service delivery will continue uninterrupted, that you will have predictable behavior from the systems that you deploy that include our software stack and these, for lack of a better term, commodity components from our partners. And tight integration is needed over there with appropriate leverage of the offload capabilities for packet processing that are available within those pieces of silicon. And so we have a very strong focus on driving up quality, on ensuring a stable, predictable system is brought to market for you, and that we maximally leverage all of the offload capabilities that are present in those silicon, in the merchant silicon. Which leads me to how all of this kind of comes together. This is a simplified illustration that shows you the components we are bringing to market with ServerNext. So if you think about our approach towards consistency, you can see that this is the single platform, the platform that we consume ourselves and that we are bringing to you, our customers, with a consistent user experience for tenant control and management, and for fabric management over time, and that is already proven at scale. In other words, when I talk about the load balancer that you would be consuming, I talk about a load balancer that is managing traffic or scaling traffic for hundreds of thousands of tenants today. The stack looks something like this. Again, this is a very simplified version, and this is certainly not a layering on the right-hand side, but what you see are three blocks, in some sense, the three components of your networking deployment. You have the underlay, and we now communicate with both VXLAN and NVGRE-based gateways. We certainly use OMI, but we use other protocols as well to communicate with the physical infrastructure, and there's no requirement to do any kind of forklift upgrade of the existing infrastructure. We then deliver or instantiate an improved version of our overlay networking. You can implement any virtualized appliance, compose services out of the chains of these appliances. So we have chaining infrastructure. We are bringing to market a distributed firewall, as I spoke about, quality of service implementation, and switching and routing capabilities, and then a virtual edge that encompasses our load balancing capabilities, VPN capabilities, including site-to-site, and then forwarding capabilities for communication with the physical world or for communication with services out on the network, outside of your domain. Controlled by our network controller, but a uniform way by which you can communicate to all of this infrastructure in a standardized, interoperable manner so other controllers can plug in should they choose to do so, and then a set of northbound APIs on the left-hand side that allow for orchestration and self-service that we bring to market. So the yellow dots allude to system center-based orchestration and self-service brought to you by Microsoft Azure Pack. Network applications, both ours and third-party applications that can consume the network, physical and virtual, through that controller, but through other controllers, through the same standardized set of interfaces, and certainly the ability for third parties to implement their own controllers, their own orchestration capabilities, should they choose to do so, since the set of interfaces are common. Let's take a look at this thing in action, so to speak. So I just spoke about all of the components that constitute our next generation offering. It'd be nice to see, well, does this thing really work even at this early stage? And how would I deploy my traditional multi-tier application in such an environment? So this is a very easy to understand conceptual deployment model. On the left-hand side, you see a traditional three-tier application that is typically deployed in a conventional data center using physical infrastructure. And nothing special about that, but now when you virtualize these different tiers and then you connect them or you deploy them in a modernized networking environment, then you have the ability that we bring, for example, to implement security policy per virtual network or per VM or per application, and we deliver that. We are bringing that to market with Next. You can have other kind of policy enforcement. For example, you can have seamless movement of your application workloads across physical machines, and your policies will move with those applications. Distributed routing capabilities that is now instantiated in software. Load balancer that is now a software load balancer that we bring to market. Until now, traditionally, you'd be limited to a hardware load balancing appliance. A controller that pushes policy down that you see up there that has REST-based APIs that allow for control. An edge that allows for communication to other clouds and also allows for communication to physical infrastructure, so you don't have to do a wholesale mass migration of all of your infrastructure to a virtualized world, which is not really practical or feasible. So this is a conceptual model. And what I'm going to show you is a couple of videos that were built using this physical model. Basically, what you're going to see is two separate tenants being deployed. You're going to see a tenant deployment that is not a three-tier application because we didn't have the time to create a three-tier application, so we created a two-tier application instead, a presentation tier and business logic in a single tier and then a persistence layer at the back end. So you will see a two-tier application being deployed. That's the client host one. That's a simplified version of a shopping application, so a shopping cart. And then you will see a content delivery system, which is the second tenant, which is the client host, the tenant on the bottom left. So you have clients accessing content that is then accessed, that is deployed on this virtualized infrastructure. So you see a set of clients on the top left, which are going to access the shopping cart. You see a set of clients on the bottom left, which are accessing the content, the video that is going to be streamed. All of this is going through a software load balancer or multiple instances of the software load balancer. We are just showing a couple, but this is software. It scales out with your load seamlessly. So we're just showing a couple of instances. It uses our BGP peering capabilities. So a subsequent talk will talk about failure handling of the load balancer and how through our BGP capabilities we can detect that and redirect the clients appropriately. And then, of course, network controller pushing down policy. And then you see on the right-hand side the three rows. The three rows depict three physical machines. So you have three physical machines on which you have the application tiers actually instantiated. So you have a presentation tier that is the vertical block going down, the presentation tier for the shopping cart application, and there are four instances of that, and a presentation tier for the content delivery system, and there are three instances of that. Remember that these are scaled out. These are multiple instances scaled out on demand and accessed through the load balancer. And then you have a backend tier which provides for the actual media content and also a virtualized SQL instance that allows for persistence of the shopping cart. So that's the second column that you see over here. An interesting thing that you might notice is that the tenants have overlapping IP addresses, and that's because we implement the overlay networking that allows for these overlapping IP addresses for the two tenants, so they can share the same physical infrastructure. And then the physical addresses, the physical systems themselves are not directly visible to the clients who are out there, potentially out on the net. By the way, this topology, this is a simplified deployment, so it's all connected by a single switch, but the same thing is proven to work with your presentation tier residing in Azure and your persistence tier, for example, residing on-premise, and your clients coming through the internet. So while this looks very simple, the same thing, the same deployment, you can stretch it out. The clients going over the internet to the presentation tier, which is being load balanced using the same fundamental technology in Azure, and then going over the gateways to the backend persistence tier that is in your data center so you can control your data set access. Hopefully this gives you a sense of the physical deployment. Let's look at the Cloud Shop application. This is the conceptual deployment of the Cloud Shop application, and I just spoke about that. There were the two clients on the top left that are accessing the shopping cart. We have a load balancer that is advertising a virtual IP. The load balancer then scales out. There's a multiplexer that then talks to multiple instances of the presentation tier. That's essentially IIS, four instances of IIS running on those three physical systems virtualized. And then they talk to a virtualized SQL deployment that is running on one of those physical systems that I just spoke about. Policy is being pushed through by the network controller. So let's look at this video.
In this demo, the Cloud Shop tenant has virtualized her e-commerce web application to take advantage of the benefits of virtual networking. She has deployed a two-tier app with an IIS web front-end server and a SQL database back-end server. Clients using this application connect to a virtual IP address, or VIP, advertised by an embedded BGP router and exposed through the software load balancer. The software load balancer distributes the workloads across four DIPs, which host the IIS web servers. Each DIP is then able to make a connection to the back-end SQL database. We will begin by showing the VMs running on the four physical hosts. MuxHost 16 contains the network controller VM, two software load balancer multiplexers configured in a high availability configuration, and the BGP gateway, which advertises the VIP addresses. DIP host 24 contains two tenants VMs, one for Cloud Shop, hosting IIS web server front end, and one for a second tenant. DIP host 25 contains two tenants VMs, two for Cloud Shop, an IIS web server front end and a SQL database server back end, and another two for a second tenant. We will show the SQL Server VM, which stores the user's data input into the web application. DIP host 26 contains two tenants VMs again, two for Cloud Shop, two IIS web server front ends, and two for a second tenant. We will now demonstrate this simple application. The web application allows the user to select products from a list and adds them to a cart. We can then click on checkout after we're done adding items and see the contents of the cart. To demonstrate the use of the load balancer, we will look now at the performance counters for the two SLB multiplexers. As you can see, Cloud Shop tenants VIP 10.0.0.3 has connections being counted up on one MUX. This is the end of this demo.
So you might be perplexed by the performance counters showing high numbers, and that's because we had a script running to generate a lot of load. So it wasn't just the one single kind of checkout of a single item. There was a script that was actually generating a lot of load and creating a lot of connections. Those the indication to have performance counters measuring what was happening, that policy was pushed through by the network controller to the appliance, to the multiplexer, to the load balancer. So that came based on a specification by the administrator who wanted that visibility into what was going on, and that policy went down through the controller to the multiplexers. And that's what you saw in the performance counters. So this was the Cloud Shop application. Let's take a look at the content streaming, which was the second tenant that was being referred to in the previous demo video. And I showed you both the tenants when I showed you the physical topology and the conceptual model as well. Here's the conceptual model, very similar for the content streaming application. Here you've got two instances of media server at the back end, serving as the persistence layer, talking to IIS front ends that are then streaming video on demand to two separate clients. Now, the interesting thing over here in this video is we are going to illustrate an example of how policy can be specified on the fly through the network controller, that policy is pushed down to the application, to actually to the persistence layer, and that policy will affect the quality and the availability of the video, as you will see very shortly.
In this demo, the Contoso tenant has virtualized his video streaming web application to use the new Windows Software Load Balancer, quality of service profiles, and fine-grained support for ACLs. He has deployed a two-tier app with an IIS web front-end and an IIS media services back-end. The Software Load Balancer distributes the workload across three DIPs which host the IIS web server front-ends. Each DIP is then able to make a connection to the back-end IIS web applications which host the video library and stream content. We will begin by showing the VMs running on the four physical hosts. MUX host 16 contains the network controller VM, two software load balancer multiplexers configured in a high availability configuration, and the BGP gateway which advertises the VIP address. DIP host 24 contains two tenants VMs, one for Contoso IIS web server front end, and one for a second tenant. DIP host 25 contains two tenants VMs also, two for Contoso IIS media server backends, and two for a second tenant. Lastly, DIP host 26 contains two tenants VMs, two for CloudShop, which are IIS web server frontends, and two for a second tenant. We will start the demo with both users of the Contoso video streaming application having the same gold level QoS profile. As you can see, streaming is fluent and seamless. We will quickly demonstrate the DIP counters on the three front-end IIS web servers to show the load being balanced evenly. We will now assume that one of the users has decided to downgrade her service to Silver to save money. In this case, we will apply the Silver QoS profile. As you can see, this user no longer receives smooth streaming video, but rather has to continually buffer content. We will now demonstrate how an ACL can be applied to block the second user's connectivity altogether. This might be the case if the user did not pay his or her bill or was trying to do something malicious against the service. Now we see the user on the left-hand side with the gold profile still receives video as before, while the user on the right-hand side is blocked altogether. This is the end of this demo.
So hopefully that gave you a sense of the upcoming enhancements that we have in the areas of SDN, NFV, and fundamental improvements that we have made to our networking stack with Server Next. There are a bunch of other sessions that go into more detail in some of these areas and also talk to other related content that I'd highly encourage you folks to go attend. And I'm happy to take any questions that you might have at this time. Yes, sir. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you properly. I apologize. Yeah, there's a mic here in case you want to use it, right here in the center.
Your show was very interesting and your presentation was very good, but I have one question. In the last version, I have to make some network services to create with PowerShell. Is this necessary too in Windows Server R2 vNext?
So I'm not sure about what services you're referring to, but our...
Everything.
Okay, so you have a variety of mechanisms by which you will be able to do lifecycle management, deployment, or control. It will be REST, it'll be PowerShell, and it'll be through SCVMM and through the Azure Pack. And so you can choose to leverage SCVMM and the Azure Pack, which provides for an integrated experience, or you can choose to roll your own. That's up to you, and you can leverage the REST interfaces and the PowerShell if you like.
Okay, thanks.
Sir?
How much of the new network stack is actually part of Hyper-V, and how much is part of SCVMM and Azure Pack?
So the question was, how much of the stack is part of Hyper-V, and what part of it is SCVMM? So in fact, everything that I spoke about today, I wouldn't call it Hyper-V. It's part of server, Windows Server. So including the controller. So up to the controller. And then as we saw in the figure, the controller can then be, you can have various clients talking to the controller. SCVMM is a client of the controller. So is the Azure Pack. And I did not talk about those components today. I spoke about the components that are part of Windows Server today. That's, the controller is a role, as Jason said today.
All right. So basically, to get the distributed switch or the firewall functionality, I don't need to integrate System Center and Azure Pack and can do that with vNext of the server.
So the question was, in order to get the load balancer or firewall, do you need to integrate with System Center or Azure Pack? The answer is you do not need to. However, System Center provides for a lifecycle management, provides for ease of management, so to speak, and an integrated experience. The Azure Pack allows your tenants to have that consistent experience across Azure and your own private cloud. But the answer is no, you do not need to. You can choose to do your own. Yes, sir.
Do you see the load balancer as a replaceable component? Or if you wish to build more advanced application delivery controller type functionality, is that always going to be deployed as a VA on top of the rest of the stack?
So the model over here is the load balancing functionality. We are just delivering functionality that we consume ourselves. However, we are a platform. We are a platform company, and therefore the service chaining infrastructure, in fact, was constructed to allow third-party best-of-breed load balancers or application delivery systems to deliver their virtualized instances, so to speak. And the customer can choose to procure them however she wishes to procure them, and then they could be instantiated in the composition of the end-to-end service. So in the sense that, can our load balancing functionality be replaced? Of course it can, through a third-party load balancer. We're just bringing one a set of capabilities we use that we find interesting and scalable for customers. But there are, as you know, commercial distributions out there of other best-of-breed components, and customers are free to use those. Sir?
We can see more and more the abstraction of the hardware layer. We saw the networking, the load balancing, and the routing. What's next, actually?
Did you say obstruction?
Abstraction.
Abstraction. Of
abstraction.
That. Yes. Well, I wouldn't look at it. The way we think about it is the fundamental problem that needs to be solved is the problem around rigidity in today's deployment, the problem around lack of choice in terms of being able to control and manage the appliance that you desire, the problem about inability to scale flexibly because you are constrained by those physical systems. And so the way we look at it and the way we consume this in Azure is we take those standard hardware components and then we layer software on top of that. In that vein, we expect a lot of functionality in the future to continue to be delivered by software, maximally leveraging this industry standard hardware, including merchant silicon. So I don't see a limitation, an architectural limitation to that. That does not necessarily lead us to a perspective that says it will all come from Microsoft or all come from any other vendor. In fact, this leads to increased choice because you now have also the ability to do uniform control management of these systems through these controllers, assuming everybody kind of plays nice in terms of transport protocol schemas and what have you. And so you can actually plug in the system that is best suited to your needs. So long answer to your short question, no, we don't necessarily see an architectural limitation. We see this continue to kind of evolve.
I think the answer is very good, but what I'm scared about, me as a consumer, I would say, is rendering the hardware vendors so much commoditized, and I love it, don't take me wrong, may scare them also and block this. Don't you think? I can see that already in some instances coming, for example.
So in no way, shape, or form was I talking about commoditization of a particular incumbent or a set of incumbents or their displacement. We all evolve to leverage innovation, that technological innovation, which is why I had the slide up that I was talking about the trends that I see in terms of technological innovation. My opinion, for what it's worth, is that the incumbents in the networking industry are major players because they have learned how to deliver value to customers by themselves leveraging that whatever technological innovation exists at that time, finding a way to bring value to customers in their own unique way, and I suspect they will continue to do so. So all we are saying is the disaggregation is here to stay. Now, how different players in the industry innovate in order to still continue to bring value and not render themselves commodity is a challenge that all of us face. That's not a challenge unique to incumbents in the networking industry. It's a challenge that Microsoft faces, our competitors face. Anybody who's in the technology industry, the only constant is truly, it's a cliche, is that there's going to be innovation, there's going to be change, and we have to find a way to adapt and deliver value. And it may be on different dimensions that we will find a way to deliver value, whether that's service, whether that's quality, whether that's scale, whether that's what have you. And I suspect all of us will find a way to do so. Yes, sir.
What resilience model did you use for the BGP gateway?
I'm sorry?
What
resiliency model does the BGP gateway have, the peering capabilities? You can deploy that in a highly available manner, and it peers with others. Bala, do you want to talk to that a little bit more, or Mahesh?
Yeah, sure. Okay. You're talking about the site-to-site?
No, you just...
The question was about the resiliency model of the BGP gateway. I think the thing is that the BGP is used in multiple places. One is, as Rajiv said, to give you the ability to, you know, survive load balancer failure, so you can, you know, go one way or the other. And that's just the protocol that is used between the load balancers and the rest of the network. So it's just, you know, you deploy multiple load balancers and one of them will, you know, take over, the other one is out. The site-to-site gateway also uses BGP as a way to, you know, set up routes, and they have a pool on their own. So that's, yeah.
Thanks, Bala. Any other questions? Well, please do provide feedback. Thank you for your time. I'll still hang around for the next 10 minutes in case there are other questions.